Okay, we're holding at the bottom of dollar over days. Flat line, actually. We learned yesterday that we had five different opinions of Tanoim, how many Yom Tovim have to pass before Putin is over on Baal Ta'acher, where they promised to bring a korban or any of a number of other things that we discussed. They didn't bring it by a certain amount of time. They're over on this mitzvah. In the course of the discussion, we said that we had some of the Tanoim, and specifically we had the Tanakama there, who said three regalim in any order, Reb Shimon, who said that you need three regalim in order, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, and Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, who said that Sukkos is the key one. When Sukkos ends, then you're over. They all use the pasuk that says in Parashat Shavuot, v'chag Matzos, v'chag Shavuot, v'chag Sukkos to learn this. The fact that the Torah needs to repeat the names of the Yom Tovim, or according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, the fact that he has to repeat Sukkos tells us that you need those. Then we said, though, what about the other Tanoim? What are they doing with that pasuk? And we ended up saying that they're using it. They make a hekish. They use it to make a hekesh between Pesach and Shavuos, that just as Pesach, you have 7 days to bring your Olas Re'iyah and your Shamach HaGigah, the Karbonos that you're supposed to bring when you come to the Beis Mikdash, so it is also with Shavuos. Right. And we said, so why don't we compare it to Sukkos? And we ended up saying, because the fasta and Rabbalot are faster, that you have a choice between 7 and 8, and you have to go with 7. So then the question becomes, Ella Lamai Hilsa, Katsu Rachmana, Chagas Sukkos. Well, then for what purpose did the Torah write Chagas Sukkos? If we're saying that we only needed Pesach and Shavuos according to those opinions. We need the opinion that say that we don't use the listing of the three Yom Tovim that tell us the number of Yom Tovim that you're over on Baal Ta'achar. Rav Meir who says one, and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov who says two.
Right.
So they're not using this pasuk for that purpose. They're using it for the purpose of the hekish. The hekish, all we needed in the end, we said is Pesach and Shavuos. We don't need Sukkos in that pasuk. Because we're not making a hekesh between anything and Sukkos anyway. So what is the Torah right to Chagas Sukkos according to them? The reason is why Kusha l'Chagamatzis, in order to make a hekesh between Sukkos and Pesach. Ma Chagamatzis totally, no? Just like when it comes to Pesach, you have to stay overnight in Yerushalayim. Rashi says that it means Leo Cholei Shal Moed. It means the night of Chol Moed. Meaning like this. The Torah writes over there like this. We're going to quote the pasuk in a second. The Torah describes how you bring the korban Pesach, etc. And then it says that after you're done, you turn around in the morning, and you go back to your tents, meaning your houses. Now, the morning over there cannot mean the morning of Yom Tov, because you can't travel on Yom Tov. Necessarily, therefore, it has to mean that the Torah is telling you, even though you would think you can already leave Yom Tov morning, no, you can't. The Torah is telling us, you brought your korban Pesach, don't think you can leave and start heading back home already that night. No, you're obligated to stay in Yerushalayim another night. And since then, the night then is Yom Tov, and you can't travel on Yom Tov anyway, then that means that effectively, it means you have to, in this case, it means you have to stay over two nights, and you can only leave the morning, of the first day of Chol Hamoed, the 16th of Nisan.
But that's in Yerushalayim, there's just one.
We're talking Yerushalayim. No, so that's what we're saying. There's only one day of Yom Tov.
Right.
But you came on Erev Pesach to bring the Korban Pesach.
Right.
You're now having to stay over for Yom Tov for the one day of Yom Tov, the first day of Pesach. That night, you're also obligated to stay over. Don't think you're allowed to leave as soon as you make Avdallah, you can start heading out. No, the Torah is telling you that you have to have Luna.
Okay. Did you learn that from somewhere else?
So from Pesach we know that's where the pasuk says it.
Because Pesach it happens, and it applies.
So once we say that it applies to Pesach, we're saying it applies to Sukkot as well. That's what we're using the hekesh for. Tosfos has a long discussion over here of what exactly do we mean by lina. Over here, do we mean, in fact, first of all, so how does it apply to the other Yom Tovim where there's no korban Pesach by the other Yom Tovim, obviously. Similar idea then. For example, you come to Yerushalayim for the first day of Sukkot, you're expected to stay over that night, the first night of Chol Hamoed, and you can only leave the next morning. Tosfos discusses the possibility, maybe they have to stay over the entire 7 days of Yom Tov and you can only leave after that? No, not necessarily. The actual reason for Lino also, before we should discuss the issue, is the basic idea behind it is since you brought a korban, you're supposed to stay in Yerushalayim overnight.
Until the korban is consumed.
Not until the korban is consumed, necessarily. It's just the fact that you brought a korban, that makes it like it's a special day, and therefore you have to stay that night in Yerushalayim also, like, to absorb the effect of it. So in the case of Pesach, you have the korban Pesach, and in the case of Pesach, as well as all the other mitzvahs, you have the korban that you brought on the first day of Yom Tov, your Eilus Ruhi and your Shama Chagiga. In particular, on Shavuos you also. Well, on Shavuos, maybe on Shavuos, we learned back in Beta that most people did not bring them on Yom Tov itself. Most people brought them the next day. That's why we have the day after, it's called Yom Tovaya. Thank you. Technically, according to Basil, you could bring them on Yom Tov as well. So Tosfos talks about, is it that in the case of Pesach that the Torah is telling you to stay over because you brought the korban Pesach, or is it because you brought your Shama Chagiga?
Both.
Or both, yeah. And then Tosfos brings up the possibility. What if, for example, suppose that you brought your shlomim before Pesach? You could send your shlomim ahead. It's brought on Erev Pesach. You're still able to eat it and be yotze simcha on the first day of Pesach, because the shlomim can be eaten for 2 days. You don't have a reason to stay over because of that, but you still have a reason to stay over because of the korban Pesach. Anyway, so machagamat is tovim lino, so just like Pesach, you have to stay overnight in your shlomim. Avchagasuk is tovim lino, so also sukkah. That's what we're using that pasuk for. Yeah. And so where do we know it by Chagamatzis itself? Just the pasuk that we just quoted. You should turn around in the morning and go back to your tent. So now, again, the morning, as Rashi says, cannot mean Yom Tov. You can't, first of all, you can't travel on Yom Tov, but also Rashi says a different reason. On Yom Tov itself, you have the obligation to be seen in the Azara. Literally, as we'll learn about in Chagiga later this year. That takes place on the first day of Yom Tov. So necessarily, you can't have left the night before. It has to mean then that you're leaving on Motzei Yom Tov. By Pesach itself, where do we know that you have to stay overnight? And that's from that passage. Which then Tosfos and Chagiga ask the question, okay, so then according to Reb Shimon and Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon and the Tanakhama, who are using the passage of Chagamatzis, of Chagashvuot, of Chagasukas to teach us about Baal Tachar, where are they learning this concept of Lina by all the Yom Tovim? And they answer, we learn from this pasuk itself, that any time, any time you're turning around to leave the Beis HaMikdash, it has to be Baboker, it has to be the following morning.
Not
at night.
Otherwise you're not
Yotze? Not otherwise you're not. I mean, you're past Yotze, you still haven't done the mitzvah in the proper way. That's what he was just asking. Is it? I mean, the mashas you yotze to the mitzvah if you came and went, that night, but you didn't do it the proper way. The Tanakam, now we have the opposite question. The Tanakam of Reb Shimon Elazar, Tashlum, actually Tevah Ben Elazar.
Could you say that that's also similar to our feelings that we, what Halacha says, that we need to pause for a few seconds after each feelings?
We learned in Brachos, actually, that the Chassidim or the Shonim used to spend an hour decompressing after davening, after Shemoneh Esrei.
9 hours a day.
Right, so we don't do that necessarily, but there is still the concept, that is the reason why we have the various tefillos after Shemoneh Esrei, is kind of to come down from that, yeah. Now the question becomes the other way around. So we said the concept that Shavuos of Tashlumin we said was from the Hekesh with Sukkot with Pesach. According to the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon, who use that pasuk of Chagamatzis of Chag Shavuos of Chag Sukkot to teach us about Baal Tachar, where do they know that there's Tashlumin for Atzeres? The answer is Nachkul Humetanu Rava Bar Shmuel. They learn it from what Rava Bar Shmuel taught, a different pasuk. But not a pasuk, but a different kind of limud. The Tani Rabbi Bashmul, Amar Torah. The Torah says as follows: Minei Yomim V'Kadosh Chodesh. Count a certain number of days, and then you make a month. Meaning, a month consists of days. A cycle of the moon takes 29 and a half days. A single cycle of the moon takes 29 and a half days from new moon to new moon. That's the thing. Because the Torah is telling us, and the Torah uses the expression ad chodesh yomim, which implies that a month consists of days. A month does not consist of hours. So therefore, that's why we have months that have to alternate 29 and 30. A month, the units of which a month is made up are days. But that's the point. Because if they were hours, you could say a month could be 29 and a half days. A month begins in the middle of the day. But it's not. That's the point. A month has to consist of an integral number of days, a whole number of days. That's what we mean.
And a partial number of hours.
A cycle of the moon takes 29 days and 12 hours. But you cannot make a Jewish month on the calendar. It cannot be 29 days and 12 hours.
Oh,
it's either 29 or 30. That's
on the calendar,
Minei Yomim Bekadosh Chodesh, so you should count a certain number of days, and then you declare, and then you make holy the Rosh Chodesh by bringing Korbanos, meaning, in other words, it's an integral number of days from one to the next. Minei Yomim Bekadosh Atzeres, and similarly, the Torah says, count a certain number of days and celebrate Shavuos. So, Ma Chodesh Lemenuyei, Af Atzeres Lemenuyei. Just like then, the Chodesh, how long do you have to bring the Korbanos of Rosh Chodesh? One of the units of which a Chodesh is made up, one day. By the same token, then, when it comes to Shavuot, how long do you have to bring the Korbanos of Shavuot? One of the units of which the count towards Shavuot is made up of. What do you count towards Shavuot? 7 weeks. Therefore, you have a week. Yeah.
Not 49 days.
No, of course not, because the count is in terms of what kind of unit are we using? We're using a unit of days to count up to a month, and we're using a unit of weeks to count up to Shavuot. So therefore, the same. That's what we're saying. The same way as so Rosh Chodesh have one day to bring the Korbanos. Shavuos, you have 7 days, not to bring the Korbanos of the Yom Tov itself, but to bring the your own personal Korbanos that you're supposed to bring then. And the Gemara says why? You say, I mean, Shavuos itself is one day. I mean, you're counting weeks towards Shavuos, but you're also counting days.
True.
Yeah. Last night we counted 28 days, which are 4 weeks.
That's my point.
Yeah. I'm a Rava, so Rava says, on the contrary, Otter Abseres Yomim Aninin Shavuot Lemaninin. So what, you're telling me Shavuot, we only count days, we don't count weeks? But we learned, the Gemara brings in Menachos, where there's a whole sogia about Spirit of Simon, Mitzvah Lemimni Yomim, Mitzvah Lemimni Shavuot. It's a mitzvah to count the days, and it's a mitzvah to count the weeks. So yes, there is one of the units that's used to count towards Shavuot is weeks. Which then Tosfos asks the question, well, if that's the case, why don't we say the same tefasta merubah tefasta argument we said before. You have a choice of days or weeks. Why are you picking weeks? And I say one of Tosfos' explanations is because what it means is Rosh Chodesh, you have the all of the different possible ways that you can count towards Rosh Chodesh. With Rosh Chodesh, as it happens, there's only the one day. With Shavuos, it has to be all the possible ways that you can count towards Shavuos have to be represented. So therefore, you have one day for the Korbanos of the Yom Tov itself, and 7 days for the personal Korbanos. But Chag Shavuos, because not only that, the Yom Tov itself is called the Yom Tov of weeks. That's what the literal word Shavuos means. So therefore, there's reason to say that it should be a week. Actually, the Or Sameach on Rambam points out an interesting thing. The Gemara actually there in Menachos says, and this is technically the halacha, that only Bizman Shabbos Mikdash Kayam you have to count both the days and the weeks. When there's no Beis Mikdash, nowadays when there's no Beis Mikdash, technically all you need to do is count the days. If a person were to just count Hayom Shemona Ve'esrim La'omer, like we did last night, he'd be yotzer. In practice, we do the week, and the Gemara mentions there in Menachos that Amemar used to do that. Amemar said, look, the whole thing nowadays is only a Zeichel Mikdash. We're not doing the actual mitzvah d'oraisa. So therefore, there's no reason to do it exactly the same as they did then. We don't. In practice, we count both the days and the weeks. But so he points out that's the point based on our Gemara over here. The Yom Tov itself, you only need one day. So therefore, nowadays, when there's no Beis Mikdash and there's no Korbanos, you only need to count the days. In the times of the Beis Mikdash, when you had to have a source for the week to bring Korbanos, to bring the makeup Korbanos, then you had to count the weeks as well. Right. So now we've taken care of how everybody understands each other's sukkim. Now, going back to the Braisa, we had a long list of things in the Braisa that Balta Achar applies to. Most of them are fairly obvious, but one of them is odd. One of them was Pesach. B'choru Ma'aser Pesach, it says at the bottom of Dalet Amud Aleph. So the question is, what do you mean Pesach Zimna Kvila? It has a fixed time. I akrave akrave. If you brought it on your Dalad Nissen, then you brought it. Vilo akrave idchila. And if not, then it's pushed off. You can't bring carbon Pesach any time. So what are you talking about to Acher? So actually, what the Gemara means over here? Does it mean to say? Tosfos says that it means that right away, if you have an animal that you designated as a carbon Pesach and you didn't bring it on your Dalad Nissen, what kind of three regalim or even one regal or whatever? The moment Erev Pesach is over, you've been over on Bal Ta'achar. So all the Mephoshim would say the other way around. What the Gemara means to say is that Bal Ta'achar does not apply to a Korban Pesach at all. Because Bal Ta'achar can only apply to something that can be brought any time during the year you want. Korban Pesach is one day during the year you can bring it. I'd have to, if you missed your chance, you missed your chance, then Baal Ta'achar is not relevant.
What about Pesach Sheni?
Pesach Sheni, that's true. Okay, so if you missed Korban Pesach Rishon because you were Tomei or Derech HaKoyka, yeah, then you bring a Pesach Sheni. But
the concept is just that one time, that Pesach Rishon is
there. Right.
You don't get that chance on the...
Right, exactly. So what are we mentioning? Pesach among the other ones. Amar Rav Chisda, you're right. Pesach Kedin Asva, you're right. The Pesach was mentioned unnecessarily. It's a common thing throughout Shas that they mention together like we do in Ezo Makarim every day. Abachor Vamais about Pesach, because they all have similar dinim as far as how their blood is sprinkled on those Mizbeach, and they also have somewhat similar dinim in how they're eaten. So therefore, over here also the Tana just mentioned Abachor Vamais or Pesach, even though technically Pesach is not needed to be mentioned. Rav Sheshes, because of Pesach, either because Baal Ta'achar. Yeah. Rav Sheshes, Amar Mai Pesach, Shalmei Pesach. Rav Sheshes gives a different answer. The Pesach that we mean here is Shalmei Pesach. Which means we learned back in Pesachim that if you did not bring your Korban Pesach at its time on your Dalet Nissen, then it automatically becomes a Shlomim. We learned a lot over there. Does it act? Does it automatically become a Shlomim? Do you have to have in mind whatever it is? But it becomes a Shlomim. Zeres Hakasav, that becomes a Shlomim. So that Shlomim, if you were to delay it, bringing for Shalosh Regalim, then you would be then so you have Shalosh Regalim to bring it. Your Pesach Shavuot and Sukkot. If you didn't, you would be over. That so that's what we mean. We don't mean the Pesach itself. We mean Shalmei Pesach.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what Rosh Hashanah is saying. An animal that was supposed to be a Pesach and instead became a Shlomi. Tosfos brings a different explanation from a Rashi in Zvachim that it might actually, that Shalmei Pesach might mean the Chagiga that was supposed to be brought with the Pesach, if you missed bringing it then.
They had three korbanos.
There were two chagigas. Yeah, altogether, when you came to the Beis Hamikdash for Pesach, there were actually four korbanos you were supposed to bring. So the Korban Pesach on Erev Yom Tov, along with it, there was the chagigas habah also, the one that you're supposed to the chagigah of Erev Yom Tov, which you're supposed to eat together with the Korban Pesach, so that you eat, so you can eat the Pesach al HaSover, as we learned about in Pesachim.
Right.
Then on Yom Tov itself, any time during the 7 days of Yom Tov, you have to bring an Ola Sruhiya, an Ola in honor of the fact that you came to see and be seen by Hashem in the Beis Hamikdash, and a Shalmei Simcha, a Shlomim, actually the Shalmei Chagigah and Shalmei Simcha, but you can be Yotze with the two of those things with one. You have a mitzvah to do chagiga, to celebrate that you're in the Beis Hamikdash, and you bring a shlomim for that. And you have a mitzvah of simcha, that you're going to eat the meat of a korban. That's simcha.
So you have chagiga.
So you have korban Pesach, chagiga sabah asr, olas re'iyah, and shama chagiga, which is chagiga. The chagiga is brought anytime during the 7 days of Pesach. Yeah.
So the erev yom tov, the chagiga, what is it for exactly?
That's in order that you eat it together with the korban Pesach, so that you'll I'll say all the flavor. Yeah.
But for the other yom tov,
For the other yom tov, you just have olas re'iyah, shama chagiga. Yeah. Asked what? Yehochi Heinu Shlomim. Well, if that's the case, according to either of these explanations, either if we mean a Pesach that turned into a Shlomim, or we mean the Chagiga Tabar also. Either way, it's a Shlomim, and we already listed Shlomim in the Braisa. Yeah? The answer is Tana Shlomim Abayim Machnas Pesach, but Tana Shlomim Abayim Machnas Atman. The Braisa lists separately a Shlomim that comes from the strength of a Pesach, and one that comes on its own. Why do we have to list them separately? Sakurat Hamina, you might have thought to say, Hoyl Machnas Pesach Ka'asu Ka'Pesach Damu. You might have thought, since it came from a Korban Pesach, then it should be considered like the Pesach. So immediately, you should be over on it right away on Baal Ta'achar. Or according to the other way of looking at it, you should never be over, just like you're never over on Baal Ta'achar with a Korban Pesach, according to that way of looking at it. Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush, that we still treat it for that purpose like any other Shlomim. Now, now the Gemara is going to show where we learn that Baal Ta'achar applies to all these cases. We had in the Braisa that started this whole discussion, we had a dozen or so things to which Baal Ta'achar applies. Adamin, Erchen, Acharomim, Ve'akdeshet, Chatoris, Vashomet, Erlis, Shlomim, Tzedokos, Meisus, Vachor, Meisus, Pesach, Leket, Shitzchol, Peah. Where do we know that Baal Ta'achar applies to all those things? So now we're going to bring the Pesach. Menon immediately. How do we know all of this? The Tanan Abaran, because we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, the whole Pasuk goes like this, Kisidon neder l'Hashem alekecha, if you vow a neder to Hashem, lois ha'achal l'shalmei, don't be late in paying it, ki dorish yidushenu Hashem alekecha me'imach, because Hashem, your God, will demand it from you, will definitely demand it from you, v'hoya b'chachet, and there will be a sin in you. So the Gemara is going to darshan phrase by phrase what this pasuk is teaching us. The pasuk starts off kisidor neder, if you vow a neder, so ein li ela neder. Well, based on that, we would only know that that applies to a neder. Nedava minayin, how do we know it also applies to a nedava? The difference between a neder and a nedava, neder means that a person says, I promise to bring a korban, let's say a korban oila. Nedava is, he says, I promise to bring this animal as a korban oila. The difference being, what if the animal dies or develops a mum or what have you? If it was a neder, so let's say it was a neder, he makes a promise, I'm going to bring an animal as an oila. And later on, any animal. Then later on, he says, okay, I'm going to use this one to fulfill that. Well, if that one dies, he has to bring another one. If they, you know, he's chayav bachriyosa is the expression. He's obligated to make sure that it happens.
And
a dava, if he said, right, if a dava, if the animal dies, that's it. He's potter because he only said this one. So when the pasuk is saying kisido neder, that sounds like it means only a neder. How do we know it includes an adava? Because nemar kan neder, because here in the pasuk it says neder, kisido neder, v'nemar lahalim neder on adava. Elsewhere, the Torah puts together the neder and an adava. The im neder on adava zevach korbanoi, that's the same dinim apply as far as the time you have to eat a korban, to a neder and adava. So the same thing there, the same way there as neder and adava are two sides of the same coin, they both go together, the same way over here. Yeah. Next, when the pasuk continues, our pasuk over here, when it says, L'Hashem Alekecha, Elu ha'adomin ha'erchen v'acharomen v'akdeshes. This includes the cases where you have to pay your value to the Bais HaMikdash, or your erech, or where you declare something chayrim, which goes to Bedek Abayis, or Hekdish, which also goes to Bedek Abayis. All those things are things which are L'Hashem Alekecha in the sense that they go straight to Hashem. They go straight to the Bedek Abayis. The Kohenim have nothing to do with them. Having said that, though, yesterday we learned that Tosfos said that Charomim here also includes Chayrim and Kohenim, so they would have to explain that. They actually explain differently. They explain, Tosfos says over here, that... If we're saying, Tosfos had said yesterday that when we say here that charomim, that you have a deadline to bring it by, and if you don't, then you're chayav on bal pa'achar, applies not only to cherme gavoya, where you're donating them to Berek Abayis, but also cherme koyanim, where you give them to your local koyan. If so, then that's not L'Hashem Alekecha, it goes to koyan. So Tosfos has a different explanation how L'Hashem Alekecha yields erchen charomim v'akdesh. Tosfos says, because it says the word L'Hashem by each of these things. By erchen it says be'erkecha nefash is L'Hashem, by cherem it says kodesh kadosh v'hu L'Hashem, etc. So therefore, in our pasuk over here, L'Hashem Alekecha includes those kinds of things. So therefore, yes, you could say that it includes Chayim Koyanim also. Then the pasuk continues, Lois Acho L'Shalma, you should not delay in paying it off, means Hu V'Loi Chilufa, means the din of Baal Ta'achar applies only to the korban itself, but not to its substitute. What that means, we'll talk about soon. Next, the pasuk continues, Ki Doresh Yidreshenu, because Hashem will demand it from you. This refers to a chatas or an asham or an oila or a shlom. Rashi says like this. Chatas ashamas are demanded from you because you're obligated to bring them. You did a certain avera, you're obligated to bring a chatas or an asham. As far as the oila and the shlomim, Rashi says that what we're talking about over here is not the oila, not a voluntary oila or shlomim, those we already covered by neder and adava. We're talking about an oila or shlomim that you're required to bring, such as the ones for yomtiv that we were just talking about, oila sri'ya and shama chagiga. All those are all demanded from you because you have an absolute obligation to bring them. So therefore, they all go under the word kidurah shirushen.
Compulsory
ones, right? Then the pasuk continues Hashem alekecha. The pasuk says kidurah shirushen Hashem alekecha. Now the word Hashem alekecha here is extra. We know already the pasuk is talking about Hashem. Kisidur neder l'Hashem alekecha loyka achal shalmei. It could have just said kidurah shirushen me'imach. What's Hashem alekecha again? Elus tzedaka to ma'aser b'chor. So we use these to learn that it includes also tzedaka and ma'aser, meaning ma'aser of animals. Or actually both kinds of ma'aser, really, both ma'aser of animals and ma'aser of produce, and b'chur, because all of those things, it says on them Hashem alekecha. By tzedakah, there's the expression of l'chotiyah tzedakah l'knei Hashem alekecha, by ma'aser, v'achot l'knei Hashem alekecha ma'aser, and so forth by all the other ones. Tosfos points out, why didn't we just say we got them from Dodo Shudra Shenu, they're all obligatory. The difference is it's a different kind of obligation. A chatas or an asham, let's say, for example, a person violated Shabbos, let's say, or ate chalev, or whatever it is, he has an absolute obligation to bring a chatas. If he doesn't have one, he has to go buy one. Chur and Meister are different. You don't happen to have an animal this year that you don't, you didn't happen to have 10 newborn animals this year, you don't give Meister. You didn't happen to have any newborn males among your cattle, you don't bring a Bechur. So therefore we can't say on them Jodesh Yudashenu that the Eibishter is demanding them from you. If you're in the situation to bring them, then you have to bring them, yeah. But therefore that's we have right. to learn, that's why we have to learn them from Hashem Elokecha.
Another Hashem.
Right. Then the pasuk continues, "Me'imach," that Hashem will demand it from you. Zalakat shikho peah. This comes to add also lakat shikha and peah, which are all things that go to the oni. And what does the pasuk say? In kesef talves oni et ami et haoni imach. The poor person with you. So we see that the word me'imach over here refers to poor people. Refers to things that are supposed to be given to poor people.
Me'imach means with you.
Me'imach means from you, but from with you. From with you. No, me'imach.
Me'imach.
But the same word, imach, is used in the case of a poor person. It's on imach. So we make like a zeder shava to say, therefore, that the word me'imach means like a shikho peah. And then, but that's the point. Like a shikho peah, as we discussed yesterday, you have the same deadline of shalosh regalim or five regalim or whatever it is to give. And if not, then you're over on bal ta'acha. And then the pasuk finishes off, when it says there will be a sin in you if you delay it, means but there will not be a sin in your korban. Meaning the korban doesn't become possible. The word chet literally means something missing. There won't be anything missing in the korban. In other words, the korban does not become possible.
Yes, to you.
It's just you are guilty of missing the deadline, but the korban itself stays kosher. Let's start analyzing the Braisa. The Braisa had said that when the pasuk says don't delay in paying it, means it and not its substitute. You have to ask, what kind of substitute are we talking about? Now, the typical case of a substitute is what usually is called tmura, where a person has, has this animal as a korban, and he says, instead of this one, I want to give this one as an animal, as a korban instead. And the Torah says, actually, it's in this week's parasha, you're not allowed to do that. If you do, then the Torah cancels you, and both of them become kodesh. You have to bring the original one and the new one. So what kind of tmura, what kind of chilufim are we talking about? If you're talking about the substitute of an oilo of a shlomim mikrokami, you actually bring those as a korban. There's no question, obviously, that bal ta'acha applies to those, same as it did to the original korban. And if you're talking about the substitute for a chatas, lemisa azla, then it goes lemisa. As we learned back in Sofim a lot, and in Yuma, a case where you have there's five cases involving a chatas where it goes lemisa. One of them is tmura chatas, where you made a tmura with an animal of a chatas. That tmura, you can't use it for anything. You have to be left to die. Yeah. So obviously you're not bringing it as a korban. Bal ta'acha is not relevant to that. Tosfos discusses what about an osham, because the usual rule is any case with a chatas where the animal has to be left to die, in the parallel case with an osham, instead you send it off to graze. So for example, if you did a tmura with an osham, then you send it off to graze. If you have the other cases, we had vlad chatas, chatas shavur shnasa, etc. All those various cases, you would send off the animal to graze until it develops a mum. So obviously you're not bringing it to the korban either, so the Gemara doesn't mention it, but then the same principle applies. Or Tosfos says the other way around. Actually, Rabbi Natam holds that actually minat Torah, that actually technically the tmura of an osham should be brought as an ola. It's only midrabanan that you don't. So then he talks about it, and I didn't look it up, but we learned about it in Sofim, actually. Tosfos discussed it in Sofim, yeah. So then, in that case, then the Gemara doesn't have to mention your tmura of an Asham. It would be the same as a tmura of an Oyla and a Shlomim. I mean, Atari, you would bring it. So what kind of tmura are we talking about? Elamai chilufo chilufe toida. So what kind of substitute are we talking about where the Torah is telling you you should know Bal Ta'acha does not apply to the substitute? In other words, you do have it, you are supposed to bring the substitute as carbon, but Bal Ta'acha doesn't apply to it. It's talking about chilufe toida. It's talking about the substitute of a carbon toida. The Tani Rabchia. Because Reb Chiya taught a brisa, toida shenis arba b'tmurasa. If a korban toida got mixed together with a tmura, so you took animal A and designated an oila, a toida. Later on, you exchanged it for animal B. The toida says both of them are kodesh now. Now, what happens is the thing is like this. We were just saying that the toida says that the second animal gets the kedusha of the first one. A toida, though, is a special kind of korban. Besides the korban itself, you also bring 40 loaves of bread with it. 30 loaves of matzah, 10 inch of three types of matzah, and 10 loaves of chametz. You give one of each. You give one of each type to the kohen, and the rest of them you eat along with the carbon. A tmura of a toida you do not. A tmura of a toida you do bring it as a toida, and it has most of the same in him, except that you don't bring it with the bread. So now what happens? You have two animals that you're not sure which is which. You're not sure which one was the toida and which one was the tmura. Umesa achas mehen, and one of them died. Chaberta in the takana. Then the other one, there's nothing you can do about. There's no way to be able to bring it as a carbon. Why? Hechilevit. Because what should you do? Likruvav, likruv lachabada. Should you bring it and then bring the bread along with it? You can't. Duma tmura. It might be a tmura, and you can't bring the bread into the azara because it would be chulin. It would be chulin ba'azara. Because it's unneeded for the carbon. Should you bring it without the bread? It's the other problem. Maybe this animal was the original toida and it's supposed to be brought with bread. Now Rashi says, the thing is like this. You only have the problem because one of the animals died. If neither of the animals had died, you would have a way of salvaging the situation. What you would do is you'd bring along the 40 loaves of bread, you'd bring both animals into the azara, and you'd make a tonight. If animal A is the real toida, then the bread goes together with it. And if animal B is the real toida, then the bread goes along with it. You shech both them, because as far as the dinim of bringing them, the dinim is the same. And then you eat both of them along with the bread, because you have both. But here, one of them died, so you're stuck. So that's what we're talking about.
We had this case in the talking.
No, I don't think so.
We had a case.
We did have a lot of cases of tmuras and stuff, but I don't think we have this one. Like Mara says, that doesn't work. Based on that, it comes out that tmura is not able to be brought as a carbon. So what do I need to pass it to tell us that Balta Acha doesn't apply to it? Obviously, there's no way you can bring it. Priya just said there's no way you can bring it as a carbon. So of course Balta Acha doesn't apply to it. Feedback to, what do you mean when the pasuk says, when the pasuk is implying that who v'loy chalifav, what do we mean by that? What case is there of an animal what case of an animal is there where there is a substitute that is supposed to be brought as a carbon, but Balta Acha doesn't apply? The pasuk is actually coming to tell us to exclude the chiluf, the tmura of an oilo or shlamim. So what are we talking about? You said before, that the tmura of an oilo or shlamim is brought as a korban itself. Obviously, Baal Ta'achar applies to it. But hacha, my skin, because what are we talking about over here? To then sha'avar al of shneir golim, suppose that two yamim tovim passed, v'humam, and then the animal that was supposed to be brought as a korban developed a mum, the chiluf al achar, and then you exchanged it for another one. So we're not talking about a tmura. We're not talking about you made a tmura.
It was
a mum, and once an animal for a korban develops a mum, then you can do pidyon. You can exchange it. So it's different than a tmura. A tmura is saying this is instead of that. A pidyon is a chilul is saying I'm taking the kedusha off of this and applying it to this. Which by bal mum you can do that.
But it's
not the same thing. So you designated this animal as korban before Pesach, let's say. So Pesach and Shavuot passed. Then it developed a mum. Now you exchange it for another one. But all of regular achad, and then Sukkot passed, and you haven't yet brought it. So you might have thought, since it's coming from the strength, it's coming based on the original one, Commander Avrel of Gimel Regalim Dummy, you might think it's considered as if three Regalim already passed. In other words, by combining, why is this thing being brought to the carbon anyway? Why is this animal being brought to the carbon? Because it's being used to exchange for an original animal that no longer can be brought. So altogether, since you got into the situation of having to bring this carbon, three yam and tovim have passed. So maybe you should be over on Baal Ta'acha. Kamash Olam, that's the chiddush that no. When we're saying hu v'loy chilufav, means it has to be the original animal itself. You don't combine together the two of them. But no. Now, if after you made this chiluf, if after you made this pidyon, if after that and Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuot passed, and you didn't bring the new one, then you would be over on Baal Ta'acha.
Not after the first.
Right. Because you can't combine two animals, right?
You let the first one develop a mum.
So if the, not you let it. If the I first mean, one developed a mum, yeah.
From the time it develops a mum, or from the time you did the chiluf?
No. So from the time you did the chiluf.
From the time you did the chiluf,
you start counting shalosh regalim from then on the new animal. Yeah. Question is, when I asked Ulur Meir to Amakim and Shalav Regal Achad over Valtacher, okay, what about according to the mayor who said in the Braisa yesterday that once one Yom to pass, you're already over on Valtacher? Michael Meimer, how are you going to explain it according to him? Amar Rava, same idea. Hachab Maiskin and Klenchukum and Messiah, Michael. Suppose a development moon doing the Yom Tov. Even according to the mayor, you have one whole Yom Tov from the beginning to the end. So you designated this animal a carbon before Yom Tov, let's say. It developed a mum in the middle of Yom Tov, the chilaloi, and you exchanged and you took the kedusha off it and transferred it to another animal. And then the Yom Tov finished. Again, talked about Hamina Hoyle Makah Kamakal. So you might have thought, since it comes based on the first one, to under Abra Ale Kura Regal Dami, it should be considered as if the whole Yom Tov had passed. That's the chiddush. Same idea. It's the same kind of thing that we said according to the Chachamim. You can't combine together three Yom Tovim based on two different animals. According to the Meir, you can't combine together one Yom Tov based on those on two different animals. Yeah.
But the principle is this.
Yeah.
Can you use one
answer over all? No. Well, obviously you can't. You can only check it as one. No. What we mean is that if, again, if you had animal A, which was supposed to be brought to the carbon, and two Yom Tovim passed, let's say, and you did not bring it, then it developed a mum. So you, at that point, before it developed a mum, you were only one Yom Tov away from being over on Baal Tachar, because you need three. Then it develops a mum, you exchange it for another animal, you start, the clock resets. You start over the count of three or two or whatever it is, Yom Tovim, with a new animal. And according to the mayor, you start over the same idea, you say that he has until the end of the following Yom Tov to bring it. Now, the Braisa had said that when the pasuk says that if you delay in bringing the carbon, there'll be a sin in you, but there won't be in your carbon, and the carbon's not possible. You might ask why? Do we learn this from this pasuk? The Achirim Nafka. We learn from what Achirim said. The Tanya Achirim Omer Yachol Yehei Bechor Sha'avra Shnasoi. You would think that Bechor, we're over a year past since it was born, should be considered Kipsule Amakdash, and it should be considered like a possible carbon, like a Balmum, be a possible and should be possible. Because after all, I mean, the Pasuk does say that the Bechor is supposed to be eaten Shana B'Shana, year by year. So you would think then that once more than a year has passed since it was born, and usually it actually says usually a year means that three regalim have passed. We'll talk about tomorrow. There are rare exceptions to that, but in general, a whole year can't pass without there being three regalim in it. So you would think it becomes possible. Talmud Lama, no. The pasuk says v'achalto lefnei Hashem alekecha masa d'gan chatzirosh chavitzaracha. The pasuk says you should eat before Hashem in Yerushalayim the meiser of your grain and your wine and your wine and your oil. Uvchoras b'karcha v'tzeinecha and the b'char of your cattle and your sheep. So makish b'char l'meiser, meaning that we're making a hekesh between b'char and meiser of produce. Ma meiser and nifsa mashana l'chavetah, just like meiser of produce doesn't become possible from one year to the next. We mentioned yesterday the concept that a farmer is allowed to keep the maestros around for a couple of years, and only on Erev Pesach of the fourth and the seventh year does he have to distribute them to everywhere they go, and then he does vidui maestro that describes at the beginning of Parshas Kisavos. So we see that maestro does not become possible from one year to the next. Bechor and Nifsal Moshan al-Chavetah, so the same thing, that Bechor does not become possible from one year to the next. So we already have that. So we know that a carbon doesn't become possible by being left over the deadline. Why do we need our possible for Hayyub HaChachet to tell us the same thing? The answer is Eftrich. We still need it. Sakhlat HaChamina, because we might have thought to say there's a difference. Hani Mili Bechor, this is talking about a Bechor. Delav Bar Hatzah. A Bechor is not brought for Hatzah. Hatzah is Mamashin Rasa. It means to be wanted by Hashem. To get back in a good relationship, so to speak, with Hashem. So a chatas or an asham, for example, obviously they're doing that. The person does an aveira, right, and now they need kapara. An ola, there's a couple of possibilities. Tosis points out that an ola can also be the kapara, because one purpose a person would bring an ola for is if he violated a mitzvah seser, and then another reason would be only a loisa says either a chatas or some loisa says have chatas, some don't. But an ola, which fundamentally is a voluntary carbon, is meant for either if a person was over on a mitzvah's eser, oral science, yeah, also on a lab on Nita Classic, come to think of it. The person did a lab where they're able to correct it with a following essay, but still they were over on a lab, so also they can bring an Ola for that. And also it talks about the idea that a new person can also bring an Ola for here or live, where they had improper thought. Whatever it is, so an Ola can be for Kapara also. What about a Shlomim? A Shlomim is not for Kapara, but a Shlomim is, Rashi uses the expression, Imla Kapara, Imla Dermin. That when we say that a korban that involves hartzah, it means either there's kapara or you're giving a present to Hashem. A shlomim, you're giving a present. That's the point.
Right.
So chatas and asham are kapara. Ola can be one or the other. A shlomim is doron, is a present. But either way, that's also called hartzah. Why are you giving a present to Hashem? Because, so to speak, you want to be on good terms with Hashem. A b'chor is none of the above. So a b'chor is lav bar hartzah. There's no hartzah involved. Av a kodshim b'nei hartzah. You know, but kodshim, where there is hartzah involved, aim a lo litzu. You might have thought. At that point, you brought them in the wrong way. You brought them after you already delayed 3 or 5 or whatever it is with Golem, and now you finally got around to bring it. Maybe the Ebeshit doesn't want to accept it from you. Kamash malon, that would be the chiddush. That would be the chiddush. We're not worried about that. That's why we need 2 psukim. In other words, we need one pasuk by the Bukhar that even after a year it's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And then we need another pasuk for not the hekesh for the hekesh with ma'aser, right? And then we have the other v'hoya b'chachet to cover all the other korbanos. The Gemara asks still va'akati, but still mid ben azay nafka. Still, we can learn that point from what ben azay said. The Tanya ben azay emer. Zakati means nevertheless. Zitanya ben Azaimer. Oisai ma tamad loimer. When the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says by pigul. We learned before, pigul is a case where the Kohen is brought and the Kohen or whoever's doing the Kohen is doing the Avodah has certain wrong thoughts in mind. In particular, he has in mind to eat the Kohen or to sprinkle the blood or whatever in the wrong time, like to eat the meat 3 days later in the case of Shlomim, or to sprinkle the blood the next day or whatever. They become pigul, the Kohen becomes completely apostle, and anybody who eats it is Chayav Karis. And the expression in the Torah is, Hamakru oisoi lo yechoshim. Anybody who brings it as a korban, it won't be counted. It won't be a good korban. Oisoi matam alayma. What does the word oisoi needed? Well, since the pasuk says lo yisa achal l'shalmei, the pasuk says by korbanos that you should not delay in bringing them. Shemeya ani achal midos v'ayimase. So you would think then that even a person who delays his neder is also a bal yerotza, also that the same thing, hamakriv lo yerotza, it won't be accepted. Not tamad lema, oisei, means oisei b'lo yerotza, only pigul is there a problem with lo yerotza. Ein ma'achar nidre b'bal yerotza, but somebody who delays his neder, there's no bal yerotza, the korban is still kosher. So we figured out then that that pasuk is talking generically, the word oisei is talking generically about all korbanos. So we know already from there that oisai, only pigul is possible, nothing else. Not a case where the korban was delayed a year or whatever. So again, why do we need it? Apostle v'haya b'chachet. We'll continue tomorrow, but that's the shame.